And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting and more. And our special guest today is Tanya de Jong, AM, and Churchill Fellow, producer and creator of the new Australian musical Driftwood. The musical had its world premiere in May, and I had the great good fortune of seeing the show in Sydney. Driftwood has an extraordinary story, just as Tanya does, and the stories are very closely linked. Tanya is an acclaimed international soprano, an honours law graduate, and an entrepreneur who has set up 6 businesses and 3 charities. Tanya, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Thank you so much. 4 charities, in fact, now.
Oh, it's getting better. Well, I wanted to ask you, what was your initial inspiration to create Driftwood?
Well, it was reading my mother's book, Driftwood, Escape and Survival Throughout. So she launched the book in 2017, but it was the culmination of decades of her writing and collection of archives and photos and other materials, as you saw in the musical. Like, she kept everything. And she still does, by the way. I mean, I think she's still sleeping in the same bed she was sleeping in 50 years ago. I think once you've been uprooted in the way that she and her family, her parents were, you do tend to hang on to things because they become symbolic of the places that you've lost and the people that you've lost. So my mother's book, Driftwood, Escape and Survival Throughout, was launched in 2017. It was published by Scholarly Books, shortlisted for multiple literary awards and won various history awards as well. And, I mean, as you know, it's such an incredible story of survival and resilience and family, love, art, and, of course, the invention of the foldable umbrella by my grandmother. I knew that part of the story. I knew that we'd lost a lot of relatives in the Holocaust, but I had no idea of how many and the level of sacrifice that my grandparents, you know, went through. I mean, I'm a very lucky person to be speaking to you today on this program, because by any rights, I guess I wouldn't be here, because pretty much the whole rest of our family were murdered. An absolute tragedy and an atrocity that human beings could do something like the Holocaust to, you know, to a whole race of human beings is still, to me, so appalling and so tragic and so sad. And in the role of my grandmother in the musical, I went through what she went through every single performance, and I cried every single performance because you saw the story and you know how powerful and moving it is. And and of course, the whole audience, you could feel the whole audience collectively sobbing. And it's very, very important that we never forget the lessons of history. We never forget that this happened, and that we never, ever allow that to happen again, that we never oppress or censor or demonize or silence a whole group of people, no matter what minority group they are. Every single human being deserves the chance to be heard and seen and included in society, and not treated like pariahs just because they are a certain religion or have a certain colour of skin or a certain ability or disability. It's truly frightening.
Yes, I hope we never get over that. But strangely enough,
well, unfortunately, we're right back there again now.
There are
a period of enormous censorship, of oppression, of discrimination. And we, every one of us, whoever's listening to this program, you know, you need to stand and speak out for those minority people and groups who are being oppressed in whatever way they're being oppressed, before we go further down the slippery slope of annihilating ourselves.
It's interesting, you know, having a musical about something involving the Holocaust. It seems to be pulling in different directions, and yet, coming out of the musical, I think the profound influence on me was really the hope and the resilience of those main characters. So it's not, you know, I wouldn't want people to think that it's totally depressing, because it's not. It's got so many things.
I mean, you know, the wonderful thing about my grandparents is that they did have this incredible resilience, which I guess they must have had to develop, and people in that area did have a lot more resilience in any case, I think. And you know, they went through an enormous amount of hardship, but the fact that they had their art, you know, my grandfather was an incredible sculptor, and his work still resides in galleries all over the world. And, of course, my grandmother was a beautiful artist and inventor of the umbrella, but also many other beautiful works of art and design, furniture and so on. And, you know, they lost everything and pretty much everyone, but then they rebuilt their lives once they got out of the internment camp in Australia and started from scratch to recreate work again, to do commissions of work, to teach others. And I still, you know, there was a lot of people who came to Driftwood who had learnt art from my grandmother.
Mm.
And they said what an inspirational teacher she was for them.
I like the story of how their art actually saved them, because they had to get out of Germany into Switzerland, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it was really, well, out of Austria. But it was my grandmother who, you know, they were living in Vienna in this beautiful apartment that she was able to maintain because she was getting all these royalties from her invention of the foldable umbrella. And then she was able to create this beautiful apartment. But, of course, you know, they ended up having, well, they're very, very fortunate that the furniture and the art was saved by her sister, who she never saw for the next 30 years in Paris, in a basement in Paris, because a Frenchman, a non-Jewish Frenchman, came to Vienna to meet a Jewish girl and save her life. And that's really what saved my great-aunt's life, Rella. And it saved the art and it saved the furniture as well. And that's why we have the legacy that we do today. If it were not for that, none of it would exist. And many families that came to the show, you know, whether they were Jewish people or migrants, Italians, Greeks, Indians, Chinese, you know, there was a whole lot of, you know, we're all migrants mostly living in Australia. Mm. And we hear so many tales of people who've lost and had to leave behind everything they owned. So in that respect, you know, we're very lucky that this incredible collection of art and sculpture and furniture and the inventions, the prototypes of the original foldable umbrella reside in the Dordic Studio in Malvern East, in just outside of Melbourne, you know, 15 minutes drive from the CBD. And that is often described by people like the Austrian ambassador as the closest thing to Vienna that you can find anywhere else in the world. And many people describe it a bit like an Anne Frank house, or, you know, if people are in Melbourne, they really should come and have a look at the Dordic Studio. Mm. It's such a treasure, and it's such a special place to go and visit and learn.
Is that, in fact, your parents' home?
But it was my grandparents' home. So my mother was brought up there. So my mum wrote the book, and she spent her childhood in that home with my grandparents.
Mm, so another connection.
Yeah, when my mum married, she moved into another home not that far away from there, but
right.
I wasn't brought up there, no.
So Driftwood is based on your mother Eva's memoirs, and from the earliest meetings, you've been able to assemble an amazingly talented cast and crew. I was just, the actors and the musicians and everyone was just, and the sets, everything was just extraordinary. Was it hard to get them all to buy into your project?
No, because I think, you know, as you saw when you came and saw the musical, I mean, the story is so powerful, and anyone who reads that book of my mother's will be captivated by it. It's enthralling, and it's important, and it's timely. And it wasn't difficult to get people on board for this project, because we already, right from the beginning, we got on some very brilliant people right from the start, like the composer Anthony Barnhill, who's only 28 years old now, but he actually started this project, I think, when he was about 23. And, you know, he's like just a genius. His compositions, you know, as you'll recall from the musical, were exquisite. He wrote most of the lyrics of the songs as well. You know, just an extraordinary talent. And Barry Abrahams, our director, to create what he created with to recreate that beautiful set, which is like the living room of the Dordig studio in Melbourne, which is a recreation of their apartment in Vienna, and all the furniture resides there. It's really extraordinary. So I think people were really inspired by the project, and I think for a lot of people, creatives and the cast and so on, working on a true story is a real gift, because we often work on fictional stories. You know, there's lots of musicals going around Australia, like Mary Poppins and Beauty and the Beast and Phantom of the Opera and these sorts of musicals that are, you know, based on books or stories, but they're not necessarily two stories and they're not necessarily our own stories. It's still wonderful entertainment, and entertainment for entertainment's sake is wonderful, but when you go to a story that's true, there's something about it that really resonates with other human beings, and it raises their consciousness, and it has a different impact on people watching a true story, I think, than a fictional story.
Yes, it's wonderful that you've been able to bring this story to everyone that comes to see the play. But I think you said at one stage how difficult it is at times to say some of the lines, which I could imagine. And do all the cast, did they all sort of feel that when they were doing the play?
I mean, I think, you know, all of us were moved by the story. And, I mean, you know, me and Taylor Berger, who is playing the role of Rella, as you know, Slava's sister, who'd been, you know, they were separated in that way. I mean, you know, most nights we were crying on stage. You know, certainly I think Anton, the person who played Carl, you know, I think there was many nights where probably all of us cried, not necessarily all at the same time, but you know, and that's just because you're playing that role and you're re-experiencing what those characters, that well, those real people went through. Those real, but not characters, they're real people. But they went through those situations, and so people, you know, if you're a great performer, you're going to try and step into the shoes of that person and feel what they felt.
You've talked about in wearing one of your other hats as an entrepreneur that you sometimes strike barriers that you have to overcome. Were there any barriers in putting together the Driftwood show?
Multiple barriers. I mean, the biggest barrier, of course, is the money that you need to create a show of this sort of caliber, professionalism, with this amount of people on the payroll. That's the biggest barrier, I think, that we have to creating new independent work like this in Australia, is there's just not enough money for that. There's a lot of money in the system for, you know, subsidised theatre companies and companies that have been around for a very long time to produce work. And there's also quite a lot, you know, there's a lot of money in commercial musicals, which are more like corporations going around the world. But for independent theatre and music theatre, there really is very little money around. And you can apply for grants, and we did, to the federal government and others, but just didn't get any money at all, even in spite of the, you know, the fact this is a true Australian story. And we lost out to, you know, big commercial ventures or other ventures that, you know, didn't necessarily reach as large an audience, or, as you know, didn't have as an important message to tell. But it's just very difficult. And I guess I'd say to people, you know, one of the things that we've done as a result of this musical is set up the Umbrella Foundation, which is a charity. And that is my fourth charity that I've set up, which is committed to telling stories, important stories that matter, through music and theatre and other innovative forms of art and mediums and so on. And we really, it's a registered charity, so all donations to the charity are fully tax deductible. And I think, you know, people are starting to support our charity as they find out about it. And I just encourage everyone to support us in whatever ways you can, because we are committed to telling stories that matter. We're not here to make profit, and, you know, we're here to create independent work that that is of the highest calibre and that tells important stories in a timely manner. So whatever people can do, and, of course, you know, we want to support emerging creative talent in this country too. It's very hard for emerging artists and creators to get work in this country as well. You know, it's very difficult. I mean, of course, it's difficult all over the world. But it's pretty sad when you see really talented people who are either on the dole or waiting at tables and not getting to do what their true passion in life is. Mm. So, you know, I really encourage people to reach out to us at theumbrellafoundation.org.au or driftwoodthemusical.com.au, and you will see lots more interesting information. There's a lot of historical information on our website, historical photos, and some wonderful photos, reviews from the show and everything as well. So, you know, we hope to take this musical further afield, both in Australia and other places. We have interest in New York and the US and Canada and Europe and so on in the work. And so we just need to raise enough funds so that we can ensure that the story is seen by more people.
Yes, so everyone take note of that, the umbrellafoundation.org.au, and I'm sure you can get details on how you can contribute to this wonderful project. We might take a break there. We're speaking today with Tanya de Jong, who is the creator and producer of the new musical called Driftwood. Tanya, about this time of the interview, we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. And have you got one for us?
Yes, I do. So this song is called Flying Free. It's the title track of one of my recent albums called Flying Free. And Anthony Barnhill, actually the composer of Driftwood, wrote the music. I wrote the lyrics. And it's all about actually this song. I composed these lyrics when I went to Machu Picchu just a few years ago, pre-COVID. And I literally came away from that experience and wrote these lyrics immediately because I felt so much gratitude for life and for the life that I have been able to have. And I also feel it's very important to have our souls flying free, to not be trapped or imprisoned or oppressed in any way. So this song is all about flying free and seizing the day, carpe diem.
This
And that was Flying Free by Tanya DeYoung, who also happens to be our very special guest today. So that beautiful singing voice is all part of Tanya's many hats that she wears around the place. So Tanya, your grandmother, Slava, it's very unusual. You actually play your own grandmother in this musical. And I know you you wear her earrings on stage. Does that give you some added inspiration?
Yeah, I think it actually did. Like every day when I put on those earrings, I felt like I was stepping into the shoes of my grandmother, and I felt her spirit every single performance, and I still do. I mean, always have. I think she's always with me, and I feel that this production allowed me to understand what she and my grandfather went through much more than I could have ever hoped for. And whilst their experiences were traumatic, they were the most inspirational and positive people. And of course, my mother tells me still today, I said, well, didn't Slava say, you know, some of the suffering and trauma? And she never did. The only place you ever see it is in some of her letters to her sister. So she managed to be positive, to be an incredible mum, despite whatever was going on for her. And she was just an incredibly brave woman to send off her husband to Switzerland without her, never knowing if she'd see him again, leaving her and her little baby, their baby behind. I mean, it's extraordinary that a woman would do that in that era and be so brave and be so courageous. And, you know, yes, she did sell the patent, but she did a deal that her name would still remain as the inventor of the foldable umbrella. So if people go online, they can look up Slava Horovitz, and they'll see that's my grandmother, her maiden name, Slava Horovitz, the inventor of the flirt, which was what she named the original little foldable umbrella.
The play is heavily involved with Slava and her sister, Rel, who, as you said earlier, were separated for nearly 30 years. Mm-hmm. What do you think Driftwood says about the importance of family connections?
That we should never lose hope in being connected with our relatives, that, you know, we should be very grateful for the love and support of family that we have in the world, and that we should never take it for granted. So tell the people that you love them, because you never know when life's going to go down a strange path or things are going to change, and we all just need to be supportive of our mums and our dads and our grandparents and our children, even if they don't always please us and even if they give us the irrits. You know, there's still blood, and as my late father always said, blood is thicker than water, and we need to celebrate our families and strengthen those connections. And sometimes when you experience life against all odds, and, well, my grandparents survived against all odds, as did my parents, it just gives you a better sense of gratitude. And I think we should all be grateful because, you know, we live in a country that is still relatively peaceful, beautiful. Life is still beautiful. There's a lot of darkness and a lot of evil, but we need to keep shining our light and our love into the world, reaching out our hands in to build bridges between people and be kind rather than building walls between us, because we're far more similar than we are different as human beings. We're all connected as one family.
Yes, look, a lot of that does come out in the musical. Oh, yes, look, what a story it is. And you mentioned, yes, I think there are opportunities in New York as well as other parts of Australia. So hopefully, yeah, this story will get out to a much broader audience.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. That would be wonderful, and, you know, I'm working on that at the moment. It's a big job, but there is a lot of interest in this. You just don't get that many stories like this around.
No, and as started off, as we mentioned, that the folding umbrella, that folds into the story as well, which is it's all part of it.
You know, that song says there's a song about the invention of the foldable umbrella called Everyone Needs Shelter. And it's very important that umbrella is a symbol of shelter, and that's why it was called the foundation, the Umbrella Foundation tour, is that, you know, everyone needs shelter. We all need shelter. We all need that connection to family. We all need some type of a roof over our head. We need to feel safe in times of trouble. and we need support. So I think that's a really, the umbrella is a very good symbol for that.
Yes. We're speaking today with Tanya de Jong, who is the creator and producer of the new musical called Driftwood. Look, there are so many aspects to this, and it's such a wonderful production. I can only thoroughly recommend it to anyone who has an opportunity to see it. Unfortunately, we can't talk about it anymore today, but if you would like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can podcast it. And don't forget, we'll be back next week with another show. But in the meantime, it just remains for me to give a very special thank you to our guest, Tanya de Jong. Tanya, thank you very much for coming on to Dads on the Air.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure and privilege, Bill. And I, you know, we sold out at the end of, you know, in the last week at the Eternity Playhouse. And I really hope that we can bring this back to Sydney and New South Wales and all the different communities around Australia who would love to see this show. And just encourage everyone out there to support us and help tell these important stories.
Absolutely. So if you look up Driftwood, you'll get all the information on that. So, well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.